I do believe that in order to really connect to learning, you need, it's one page. In order to really connect with learning, you need to know who people are, and you have to understand the entire system of Torah Shebaal Peh. So I am not calling this series that we're starting the history of Torah Shebaal Peh. This is not a history class. We're going to call it an introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh, because we're not going to just learn about people and places and events. I also want us to understand, like, what's a halacha al Moshe Mi-Sinai? What's a drasha? What's a hekesh? What's the strength? What's the difference between a gezeira and a takana? What's the value of it? What's the strength of a deraisa? What's the strength of a derabanan? I want us to understand how Torah Shebaal Peh works, and I think it will help you a lot in your learning if you understand, like, what's the difference between a smachta and a drasha? What are the midos shatar and drashas bohem? All of this is part of the introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh. So today I'd like to discuss the Beis Din HaGadol, the Sanhedrin. Those are synonymous terms. The Beis Din HaGadol is the great Beis Din. The Sanhedrin is another word for it. What was it? What was its role? Who are the Anshei Knesset HaGadola? Where do they all play into the dissemination of Torah? And in the where are they in the chain? What link are they in the chain of the Mesorah? So the Beis Din HaGadol, the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, have been throughout history the major force in the national aspiration to learn Torah, to pass Torah on to the next generation, to commit it to memory, to interpret Torah. If you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Mamre, the very beginning of Hilchos Mamre, which is all about a Zakein Mamre, the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamre, based in HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim, this is the first source in Rishit, based in HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim, Haim Iker Torah Shebaal Peh. They are Iker Torah Shebaal Peh. That's a very strong statement. They are the movers. They are the centerpiece in Torah Shebaal Peh. The Haim Amudei Horah. They are those, they are the pillars of Horah, of Psak. Umehem Chok U'Mishpat Yotze L'Chol Yisrael. From them, Chok and Mishpat goes out to Klal Yisrael. The Alein Hivticha Torah Shenemar Al Pi HaTorah Asher Yerucha. And it's regarding them when it tells us to follow Pi HaTorah Asher Yerucha. You have to follow the Torah that they command. It's referring to them, which is the Mitzvah Saseh. The Beis Din HaGadol had two primary jobs when it came to Torah Shebaal Peh. Number one, to protect and safeguard the authenticity of Torah Shebaal Peh. Remember, Torah Shebaal Peh is what it sounds like. It's the oral traditions. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. He had the Aseres HaDibros. At some point, probably not on Har Sinai, but while they were in the area of Sinai, you know, they camped at the foot of Har Sinai for a year and a half. During that time period, the Ramban writes in his Hakdama to Sefer Devarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get every single mitzvah, all Tariag mitzvahs, on Har Sinai that first time he went up. He got the Aseres HaDibros. But then, while he was going up and down the mountain, it's not clear in the Pesukim how many times he went up and down, but then also when they were camped at the base of Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu received all the mitzvos. It's machlokas in the Tanoim. He got all of the mitzvos and all the details, or only got the general mitzvos. But we assume, like Rabbi Akiva, he got all of the mitzvos. He got all of the details of the mitzvos. All of that he got at Har Sinai, but along with it, all that was written, and he probably didn't even write it down then. The Gemara in Gittin has a dispute. Was it written in piecemeal, or did Moshe Rabbeinu write the Torah at one shot at the end of his life? So the written Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu also orally at that time, and he taught it to Klal Yisrael, but he taught it to them that this is going to be the written Torah. Along with the written Torah, which by sure by the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, everything was committed to writing, officially in a Sefer Torah, and every tribe got their own copy of the Sefer Torah. Along with that was a tremendous corpus of oral teachings that explain Torah Shebaal Peh. I mean, the Torah says you should put on tefillin. What in the world is tefillin? How do you make it? What are the dinim? The Torah says to sit in a sukkah. What's a sukkah? What are the walls supposed to be made of? What's the schach supposed to be made of? What's the size of the sukkah? What are the dimensions? How high can it be? How low can it be? All of these details are not written in the Torah. So all of these were oral traditions that Moshe Rabbeinu had, and he passed them on to the next link in the chain, which was Yehoshua and Pinchas. He passed on the oral traditions. So the Beis Din HaGadol's job was always to protect those traditions, because we know there were many other sects that made their appearance on the stage of Jewish history, like the Tztukim and others, who tried to hijack the Torah Shebaal Peh, either to replace it or get rid of it, either to get rid of it completely or to replace it with their own version of the oral traditions. So Beis Din HaGadol's job, number one, was to protect the authenticity of Torah Shebaal Peh. Number two, which is a major job, I'll take your question in a second, a major job, which is not the same thing as safeguarding it, it's to interpret Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh. When Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, he not only received laws, he also received midos shehatorah nedreshes lohem, tools for analyzing the Torah. And in fact, the Rambam writes that there were dinim, not actual mitzvos, but there were laws that were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu. There were details that were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was given the tools to be able to learn out, to darshan. You know, Hashem couldn't give Moshe Rabbeinu every single thing that was ever going to occur in history. But he gave him the tools in order to be able to analyze the Torah and learn Dinei D'oraisa out from the Torah. Those are things like we know, like Kal V'chomer, and other methods, Zei Reshava, other methods of darshan in the Torah, that the result of them is a Din D'oraisa, even though it wasn't necessarily given to Moshe Rabbeinu, because the tool is a D'oraisa tool. And when the tool is used properly, the result is a Din D'oraisa. And the job of interpreting the Torah and creating Dinei D'oraisa was also entrusted to Beis Din HaGadol. Now, at a certain time in history, Beis Din HaGadol was referred to as the Sanhedrin. But it is the same thing. It's the Beis Din HaGadol. It's the Great Beis Din. Now, the Great Beis Din, we'll talk about some details of it, and then I'll take your question, just in case I cover it. The Beis Din HaGadol had a few other responsibilities that were not connected to Torah Shebaal Peh. For instance, it had judiciary responsibilities. If Klal Yisrael wanted to judge a Navi Sheker or a Zaken Mamre, you need a Beis Din HaGadol to do that. If we wanted to add on to the Makom HaMikdash, or if we wanted to go out to a Milchames Rishus, if there's a Milchames Mitzvah, if we're being attacked, you don't need a declaration of war by Congress. You don't need a declaration of war by Beis Din HaGadol. But a Milchames Rishus, if you want to add more territory onto Eretz Yisrael, Milchames Rishus, you need the permission of Beis Din HaGadol. They have to Kiilu declare war in order to be able to go to war. So they had certain like judiciary responsibilities and military responsibilities. Ir Nidachas, we just learned about Alulav of Ir Nidachas. To proclaim a city in Ir Nidachas, you need a Beis Din HaGadol. They are the ones who need to judge and decide if we should proclaim this in Ir Nidachas. So there were judiciary responsibilities, there were military responsibilities. Where did this Beis Din HaGadol come from? Sanhedrin. What's the first Sanhedrin? Anyone know? Who in history had the first Beis Din HaGadol? Before, 1,000 years before. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's right, excellent. What does it say in the Torah? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, second source. Osvali shivim ish mi ziknei Yisrael. Go collect 70 zikenim. Asher yadat kim ziknei am b'shotrop. V'lakach dosam el omoed v'syatzu shami moch. Go get 70 scholars and bring them to be with you. The Beis Din HaGadol is 70 members, with a Nasi on the top, a president, a head of the Beis Din. Now, I'm purposely not calling him the Rosh or the Av Beis Din, because the Av Beis Din was actually the number two in control. The Beis Din was made up of 71 people. That way, there's always a tiebreaker. You need an odd number. The Beis Din was really 69 people. It was 69 Rabbanim plus an Av Beis Din, who was the number 70. He was the number two in charge. And on top of that was the Nasi. And the Nasi was the head, that's what I'm saying in English, because Av Beis Din means the head of the Beis Din. But the head of the Beis Din, Av Beis Din, was really number two. The Nasi, the president, was number one. He was the head of the Beis Din HaGadol. That was the job that Moshe Rabbeinu, that was his position. He was in charge of the Beis Din. And why this number 70? This is a very interesting Ramban on the pasuk that I just quoted to you. We'll take a look at it quickly inside. The Ramban there says, we know that the number 70 appears in a bunch of places. Shivim Umos, 70 nations. Shivim Lashonos, 70 languages. And in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it's noted that there were 70 malachim. Hashem, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'shivim malachim, hasovim kisei kvodo. Apparently around HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, there are 70 malachim. That's the number of people that went down to Mitzrayim. And that's why 70 was commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu to have a court of 70. Because 70, as we're seeing, represents some type of unity, some type of completeness
of people. If you have 70 people in your retinue, it's complete. He says it's 70 perspectives. The world is 70 nations. 70 we see, doesn't explain why necessarily.
He just says that 70 is the misfar, which is kolel all of the deos. If you want to have the complete perspective, you need to have 70 people. So again, there's a sequence here that we don't know exactly why 70. But we do know that on a certain level in the world, 7 and 70 represent some type of completeness. Like, the world was created with Shabbos, obviously, with 7 days. 7 days creates the unit of creation. 70 is 7, but just maximized. So we have 70 comes up every once in a while. And the Ramban says this is a very significant number. And the Ramban adds that once, like, just like there are 70 nations, that maxes out regular creation. The number 8 in general in Jewish thought always represents going one step beyond the natural. Because natural, nature, was 7 days, 7 days of the week. 8 is what takes things one step beyond, one step deeper. So that's why Mila, for instance, is on the 8th day, the Maharal says. Because a Jew is not destined to just live a regular mundane existence. He's supposed to go a step beyond the natural. So that's why the bris is on the 8th day. So to here, the Ramban says that 70 represents, just like there's 70 nations, and then there's one special nation, that sort of Ola al-Kulam, that's supposed to be guiding the world and all the nations towards perfection. That's Klal Yisrael. So too, the Beis Din has 70 plus 1. You have the 70, and then you have 1 on top of that. And then the Ramban says, once you have that in place, the 70 plus 1, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides within the Beis Din. He's like the 72nd. He talks about the 72-letter name of Hashem. And 72 represents Hashem's presence in that perfected existence. And therefore, many times, the Ramban says, you'll note that when the Torah refers to Beis Din, what term does it use? It's a term that we also use for Hashem's name. Elohim, excellent. Beis Din is referred to as Elohim. It says, like, you know, you should bring your court, Elohim. It doesn't mean to God, it means to Beis Din. Why is it called Elohim? Because once you have a Beis Din functioning properly, so God's presence is found in the Beis Din. Okay. The location of the Beis Din. The din is that the Beis Din needs to adjudicate cases and it needs to meet at the Makom HaMikdash. The pasuk says, "Vikamta v'alisa." Take a look. It's a few sources down.
Ki yipalei mimcha davar l'mishpat bein dam l'dam bein dem l'din bein nega l'nega. If you have a court case, divrei rivos b'sharecha. There's some type of argument. You will go up to Yerushalayim, to the place that Hashem chose as his place. So, and we say two psukim later, you'll do what they say from that place, Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that Hashem chose.
So the Beis Din, in order for the Beis Din HaGadol to get its status of Beis Din HaGadol, it needs to be at the Makom HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a special area called the Lishkas HaGozis. Gozis means hewn stones, smooth stones. Lishkas HaGozis was an office on the Beis HaMikdash premises. It was half in the Azara, half out of the Azara, right on the edge of the Azara, in the Makom HaMikdash on Har Abayis. And that is where the Beis Din HaGadol met, in the Lishkas HaGozis. And when the Beis Din HaGadol is in its place at Lishkas HaGozis, then we're able to be Dan Dinei Nefashos, we're able to do capital cases. You don't need a Beis Din HaGadol to do capital cases. How many people do you need in a Beis Din to do capital case? Anyone know? 23. You need 23 people in a Beis Din to do Dinei Nefashos. But you can only do Dinei Nefashos if Beis Din HaGadol is in their place, right? It's sort of like, again, Lahavdil, you know, like we have like a Supreme Court, and you have the circuit courts. I don't know what the system is in England, but in the United States, at least, we have like a Supreme Court, and then there's circuit courts and local courts. So the way it works in Torah is that the local courts are not able to carry out capital punishment, try a capital case, unless Beis Din HaGadol is in its place, unless there is a Beis Din HaGadol, and they are operating from Yerushalayim, from Har Abayis, from the Lishkas HaGozis. If they're not in their location, so then we're not able to have capital cases. Yeah, question. You weren't given the right paper. Okay, here you go. Okay. The
Beis Din HaGadol, as I, you know, I think what Avram said when he said Ezra was the first Beis Din HaGadol, I think that's what most people assume. Most people, I think, assume that the Sanhedrin was convened at some point in Jewish history. It wasn't always a Sanhedrin. But if you take a look at the Rambam in his Hakdama and Mishnah Torah, the Rambam shows us how Beis Din HaGadol was always around, and they were the body of scholars that passed Torah on from generation to generation. Let's take a look. We're going to learn a lot of Mishnah Torah this year, a lot of Rambam Mishnah Torah. It's kedai to take a look at the introduction. Let's read a few lines from the introduction. Kol HaTorah Kosva Moshe Rabbeinu Kodem Shiyamos. That's what I alluded to before. Before he died. He didn't write it earlier. He wrote it before he died. The whole Torah Moshe Rabbeinu wrote before he died, the Ksav Yada with his own hand, the Nosan Sefer L'chol Shevet B'Shevet. And he gave a Sefer Torah to each Shevet. The Sefer Echad Nosno Bi'aron La'ed, or La'at. And he put one Sefer in the Aron Kodesh, and it was there either as a testimony or forever. Shenemar Lakoch HaSefer HaTorah Zeh B'Samto Oso. The HaMitzvah, that's the Torah. What about the Mitzvah, which is Perush HaTorah, Lo Kasva, that he didn't write down. El Tziva Bol HaZakenim. He taught it to the Zakenim. The Yoshua, will the Shar call Yisrael? Shenemar Eskol HaDavar Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Oscha Oso Tishmoru La'asos. Everything that I'm creating, Shar Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Eschem, excuse me, Oso Tishmoru La'asos. Tishmoru La'asos. You should guard it. Ubnezeh Nikreis Tor Shebal Peh. And that's why it's called Tor Shebal Peh, because it's oral. Now, Linda Moshe Rabbeinu Kula Bibes Dino L'Shivim Zakenim. Moshe Rabbeinu, as the head of the Beis Din, taught it to his Beis Din. Again, we think of Beis Din as the people who judge cases. But you're seeing that the Beis Din, okay, they also judge cases, but that's not their prime job. Their prime job was to be the Iker Torah Shebal Peh, like the Lashon HaRambam. B'kibel Eli min HaZakenim Umi Pinchas. Who was Eli? Anyone remember who Eli was? Eli was also the Kohen Gadol. He happened to also be the Kohen Gadol. But he was also, as we're about to see, the Rosh Beis Din. Ushmuel, Shmuel, the Navi Shmuel, was Kibel Me Eli U Beis Dino. So Eli, as the head of a Beis Din, was the next link in the chain, and he gave it to Shmuel. You might remember that if you ever learned Shmuel Aleph. Remember the very beginning of Shmuel Aleph? Shmuel is sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever, not the Beis HaMikdash, I think it was Mishkan Shiva at that time, if I'm not mistaken. But he was, Eli is the Kohen Gadol, and Shmuel is sleeping there, and you know, he keeps hearing his voice, right? Someone's calling his name, and he runs to Eli, and Eli's like, what are you talking about? Go back to sleep. And then it happens again, and Eli realizes, right? Are you familiar with that story? So that's this chain, that's that these links right here. The David came out to Shmuel, and David learned from Shmuel, which means that the torch of leadership of the Beis Din HaGadol was being passed on from generation to generation. And Achia Shiloni got it from David, and Eliyahu from Achia Shiloni, and Elisha from Eliyahu, and Yehoyada from Elisha, and Yehoyada from Zechariah, and Zechariah gave it to Hoshea, and I think I said it a little out of order there, and Amos got it from Hoshea, and next was Yeshayahu, and next was Micha. You know, I don't know if we've always thought of these people in that way. We think of Yeshayahu as like, I don't know, maybe like a tribal and prophet. No, he writes a nice book, inspirational sefer. We don't necessarily think of him as like the Rosh Beis Din, or the Nasi. We don't really think of him as having a Beis Din, and then, what was Yeshayahu doing all day besides writing Haftorahs? Like, what was Yeshayahu doing all day? He was sitting in a Beis Din HaGadol, they were judging cases, and they were learning. Why were they learning? Because they're the ones who keep Torah Shebal Peh going, just like you. People who sit and learn Gemara, Halacha, they're the ones who are safeguarding it. And it's a little bit different nowadays because we have books. So if you don't read the Art Scroll Gemara, someone else read the Art Scroll Gemara. Very nice. But if there are no Art Scrolls, and not only are there no Art Scrolls, there's no Gemara, there's nothing written down, what keeps the Mesorah from being lost? The fact that people are learning it. You don't just have like a bunch of brilliant guys who memorize it, you know, photographic memories, and then you like just keep them in like a
you know, a hermetically sealed box so that they don't die. And you just, that's not what you did. The way it stayed alive was the fact that people sat and learned. I think it's actually a very inspirational thought. You know, we're going to sit here, we're sitting here trying to figure out why the Lulav HaYavesh is possible. Why is the Lulav HaYavesh possible? Is it because of Zekeh L'Nyan Ve'yu? Is it a din of Hadar? Well, you know what? This topic is alive today because Yishayo, Yirmiyo, they were discussing this. Now, at that time, they might have had more clarity than us. So it could be that when Yishayo was talking about a Lulav HaYavesh, he told, right, who did we say? Who came after Yishayo? Who did he pass it on to? Yishayo passed it on to Micha. So Micha was a Talmud in Yishayo's Beis Medrash, and probably one day was a member of his Beis Din. And Yishayo taught Micha, you know what? A Lulav HaYavesh and Gazel are both possible. You know why a Yavesh is possible? I don't know what. Okay, whose side he was on. And he said, do you know why Lulav HaGazel is possible? Because of? Why was a Lulav HaGazel possible? Lochem on the first day? Because the mitzvah of Avera, that's right. Well, the conversation we just had, Yishayo and Micha had that conversation. And that's what keeps it alive till today. And the Rambam here goes through the entire Masorah. And he goes all the way, if you go to the third to last line, fourth to last line, and finally Ezra only gets in on the last line. Ezra and his Beis Din got it from Baruch ben Neriah and his Beis Din. And the Beis Din of Ezra was a very, very special Beis Din, which we'll talk about in a minute. Yes, question.
What
about them?
What was
their... So, right, I don't know if that was already yet a... let's take a look, hold on, at the Pesukim here. Was there a number there? Do you remember? In Yisro?
I think it was like...
Right, he said like, Sarei Alafim, Sarei Mayos. So I wonder if that body of scholars was still around, and if at this point they're just adding. When he says, get it up to 70, was he just adding now in order to get it up to the number of 70?
Well, if there were judges for, let's say, like, every 20 people...
Right, no, but I meant like the supreme judges, right? Because there were circuits at that time, right? There were lower judges, then there were higher judges.
Right.
But I wonder what the highest judge, did it end up being one for each Shevet? Do you remember? What was that? What was the Lashon? Which you're saying sounds like one for each Shevet, right? Okay, I don't see it here right now.
If you can find that lesson, see if you can find it.
But it could be that they were added, that it could be that there was only at that time like 12 on the top court. And then we're added in order to get to 70. But the first Sanhedrin is quoted by all the Rishonim as being this one from Parshas, from Sefer Bamidbar. Did he? That's what I was looking for. I didn't see it there. All right. We'll research it. You'll get back to me. You have something to do over Shabbos. Okay. We'll just do a quick Gemara where the Gemara talks about this issue of Beis HaMikdash, that they have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. If you look at the last Gemara on the source sheet here, Shlosha Batei Dinim Hayusham. Let's first look at the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. B'tchilo kishenivne Beis HaMikdash hayu Beis Din HaGadol Yoshvin b'lishkas HaGazis. When the Beis HaMikdash was first built, Beis Din HaGadol sat in the Lishkas HaGazis, which was in the Ezras Yisrael. V'hamakom shayu Yoshvin b'chol hayu. And it had to be an area that was not kadosh with kedusha of the Azara, which was the inner chamber of the Beis HaMikdash. Because ein yeshiva ba'azara el malchei Beis David. You're not allowed to sit in the Azara unless you're the Melech. And all these people were not Melech, obviously. And they need to sit down for the court cases. Ukishnis kalkala shura golum imakam lamakam. So we're going to read about that in a minute. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Shlosha batei dinin hayusham. On
Harabayis, or in at the Makom HaMikdash, there were actually three Batei Din. Echad was Yoshev al Pesach Harabayis. One sat at the entrance of Harabayis. Echad was Yoshev al Pesach Azara. Then another one sat at the entrance to the Azara. The Echad Yoshev Belishkas Hagazus. So these are like the last three courts in the whole system. You have like three Supreme Courts. The lowest level of the Supreme Court sat at the entrance to Harabayis, at the entrance to the Temple Mount. The second one sat at the introduction, at the entrance to the Azara. And the last one, the absolute Supreme Court, sat inside the Beis HaMikdash at the Lishkas HaGazus. Be'en l'zeh, shalpo'en l'zeh, shalpesach harabayis. The discussion here is discussing how to judge a Zakein Mamre. Zakein Mamre is a scholar from the Beis Din who is going back to his hometown like during intercession, and he's telling people halachas that are against what the Beis Din HaGadol paskin. So he's like a rebellious elder. And if he does not recant and he stays strong with his, so he gets the death penalty. Because it's looked at as a breakdown in the entire system of Beis Din HaGadol, which was so important. So first they would come to the Pesach HaRabayis. V'omer kach derash darashni v'kach darshu chaveirai. And he would say, listen, this is how I understood the halacha. This is what they're telling. This is what others are saying. Am I right or am I wrong? Kach limadati v'kach limdu chaveirai. This is what I taught and this is what others taught. Im shamu amar lahem. So if they're able to conclude things and everybody's happy, that's fine. If not, they would go to the basin that was on the Pesach of the Azara. And then it continues until eventually, Elu v'elu, last line, Boin the basin agadol shabalishkas agazis. They would come to the basin agadol lishkas agazis. You need to know that term, lishkas agazis. A lishka is an office. The office of the hewn stone. Shemimenu yotze tor l'chol Yisrael shenemar min ha-makom ahu. Asher Yivchar Hashem. Okay, this process of having a Beis Din HaGadol being Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh, this continued throughout the generation, starting from Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way down through the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the time of time of Shlomo, and then after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash. So there seemingly, it's a little bit of a dispute, but seemingly there was a break in the Sanhedrin during Galus. Most of the Rabbanim left before the first destruction, and they went to Bavel. And it's unclear if they convened a Beis Din there. It certainly would be a Beis Din HaGadol Shelo B'Mkomo, because they're in Bavel. They're certainly not able to do capital cases. They're not on the Makom HaMikdash. But there certainly were great Rabbanim, Yirmiyahu, and Baruch Ben Neria, the Gemara says that Baruch Ben Neria was the Gadol Ador during the period after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, Yirmiyahu was the one who wrote Eicha. Yirmiyahu, the Navi, Yirmiyahu lived through the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. Yeshayahu also spoke about the destruction, but he lived many, many years before the destruction. Yirmiyahu lived during the destruction. And then Baruch Ben Neria went to Bavel, he was the Gadol Ador in Bavel. So the continuation of Torah was able to survive. It wasn't very long between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, under 100 years. And it was a generation or two. They learned well in Bavel, and then eventually Ezra wasn't the first one, so Bavel and Ezra and Nehemiah, but they brought Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. And what do you think the first thing Ezra did when they were rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash? He reconvened the Beis Din HaGadol. And that's why many people associate Ezra as the one who created the Sanhedrin. But that's because he was recreating a tradition that had gone on for a very long time, but had suffered because of the Chorban. Now Ezra reconvenes the Beis Din HaGadol, and when Ezra reconvenes it, his Beis Din HaGadol has a very special name. It's called Anshei Knesses HaGadol. It's really called Knesses HaGadol, the great Knesses, the great assembly, right, the great assembly. But the people were called the Anshei Knesses HaGadol. Now, what was unique about Anshei Knesses HaGadol was that instead of having 71 members, how many members did they have? 120. Now, it's unclear exactly how you can have 120. You're supposed to have 71. So it could be that there were 71 primary members who were like voting members. And then you had another 50 or so, 49, who were, what are they called in the UN? Observer states.
right? There are Sholmeshes, right? You had other people who were part of the group, but they were not the actual voting members on the Beis Din HaGadol. Why are they called the Anshei Knesset HaGadola? The Gemara in Yerushalmi says... What?
It has to be odd, so 120 wouldn't work.
Right, so exactly, good. For voting, 120 wouldn't work. Why are they called Knesset HaGadola? So what's the simple explanation? Come on. I know that we're tired because it's Friday morning. But why is it called Knesset HaGadola? Because it's bigger than a Beis Din HaGadol. It's the big assembly. That's true, but that's not what Yerushalmi says. Yerushalmi says it's called Anshei Knesset HaGadola because they were Hechziru Gidula Lemkoma Leyoshna. They returned the grandeur to Klal Yisrael. The Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi says it's called the Knesset HaGadola because they are the ones who return the greatness to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is great when they have a Sanhedrin, when they have the Beis Din HaGadol, when there's a serious headquarters of Torah Shebaal Peh, Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh. And without Anshei Knesset HaGadola, we were lacking that. Ezra, by reconvening the Beis Din HaGadol, Ezra was returning the glory, the grandeur to Klal Yisrael. Now Anshei Knesset HaGadola are very famous. First of all, they said three things. What were the three things that they said? Having Mesunim Badin, let's see how well you listen this week. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, and Asu Siag LaTorah. So we're going to use those three statements that they made and use them to teach three main jobs that Anshei Knesset HaGadola had. Number one, having Mesunim Badin, you have to be patient in judgment. They were judges. They had a judiciary role, that's obvious. Number two, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, they were the transmitters of the Mesorah. They taught Torah. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. And in fact, it's almost funny. They're the ones who say, have lots of Talmidim. Well, they were the ones who added lots to the Beis Din HaGadol. Beis Din HaGadol was 71. They were Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. They had 120. They also wrote, by the way, Svarim of Tanakh. The Gemara in Baba Basra, towards the end of the first parak, says that they wrote Sefer Yechezkel, they wrote Treyasar, they wrote Sefer Daniel, they wrote Megillas Esther. It's just Mordechai was a member, right? We had Haggai, Zechariah, some of the last Nevi'im. They were all members. If you look back at that Rambam on our source sheet, so the Rambam says, Beis Dino Shel Ezra, three lines from the bottom. Heim HaNikroim Anshei Knesset HaGadola. They are Anshei Knesset HaGadola. And who are they? The Heim, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Remember them? They were the ones thrown into the fire. They survived. Nehemiah, Mordechai, Zerubbabel, the Harbei Chachamim Imohem. In total, 120. Tashlum, Meyah, V'Eshrim, Zekanim. And the last one was Shimon HaTzadik. We're going to learn about Shimon HaTzadik on Sunday, Mir Tashem, because the next mission in Pirkei Avos is Shimon HaTzadik, because he's the next link in the chain.
Okay, so they also instituted very important takanos and gezeros, and that's their last statement. What was the last statement? Mesunim Badin, judges. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, transmitters of Torah Shebaal Peh. Asu Siag LaTorah, make fences, make safeguards for the Torah. Sure enough, they made many, many gezeros and takanos. That's probably maybe what they're most famous for their many gezeros. So many things that we do, you might not realize that they came from Anshei Knesset HaGadola. For instance, Bedikas Chametz. Gemara says that Bedikas Chametz was instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Muksa, the din of Muksa. Who created the din of Muksa? Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Torah reading on Shabbos afternoon was Ezra's Takana, as the head of the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. He was the head of the Beis Din. Shabbos afternoon Torah reading comes from Ezra. They switched the script. There were different scripts being used at different times in history. They're also the ones who wrote the text of many of our brachos. Many of the tefillos that we have were created by Anshei Knesset HaGadola. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah that before Ezra, everybody just davened when they wanted, what they wanted. Ezra was the one who formalized it. Minyanim, the text of tefillah, it was all done by Anshei Knesset HaGadola. They wrote Shmoneh Esrei, probably. There's a little bit of a discussion about that, but they probably wrote the Shmoneh Esrei, the text of Shmoneh Esrei. Havdalah, Kiddush, all of these things that we say, the text that we have was written by Anshei Knesset HaGadola. So Anshei Knesset HaGadola were a Sanhedrin. They were based in HaGadol, but they were vital in creating rabbinic Judaism, the way that we live today. Those are the gezeros and takanos that they established. Okay, we're going to stop here. Emir Tashem, next time we meet, we're going to learn about the zugos, and then that will hopefully pave the way for us to talk about the tanoim. We finally get to